Hey, everybody. All right. We're back from our annual hunting trip where Paul and I took our kids. So my three of my boys and your two kids down to South Dakota again for our annual hunting trip. And we came back with some good lessons learned. So what did we hit on in this episode?
Yeah, we kind of talk about today just relating, you know, our annual hunting trip to, you know, being around like-minded people and kind of the how they all practice IBC and they're all similar in that we might not agree on everything, but we're all fiercely independent. And I think people who practice the infinite banking concept, those are the same type of people. They're fiercely independent. They have a healthy mistrust of government and they want to be able to leave a legacy. I think that's one of the most important things is not forget that legacy piece. So always a great time. It's a good episode. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. Well, hey, good to see you, Paul.
You know, long time no see.
I know, seeing you virtually after seeing you how many days in a row? Like 5-6 days in a row?
Yeah.
In person?
I got there, what, Wednesday? And you saw me on Monday. So yeah, 5 days.
Yeah. Yep. You made it home yesterday. Good for you. But yeah, we had a good week, man. It was an eventful week.
Yeah, busy. A lot of travel, a lot of shooting, a lot of camaraderie and brotherhood and a little bit of sisterhood, right? Because there's two girls there, one being my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, got to go to a football game. Out to a nice restaurant.
It was, we crammed in a lot to just a short amount of time.
We did. So, everybody listening, if you've been listening for a couple years, you know, we do this annual hunting trip every September. It's been for the last few years, where we get basically the same group of guys every year. There may be one new person and there was this year, but we knew him beforehand anyway. But it's usually the same group of guys and maybe one or two girls and, get together for 3 days out in South Dakota. Fellowship over a lot of good food, games,
cigars,
drinks, and a lot of shooting, a lot of shotguns. So it's a great 3 days.
Yep. And we'll plug NedVed Guide Service. That's who we use up in Kimball, South Dakota. Just wonderful people.
Yeah. I kind of have, you know, mixed feelings about plugging them. They're great. And I want their business to thrive, which it already does. But I also want the availability for us to go there every year. So I don't want too many.
I think we're good. Yeah, you know, we're consistent, so we show up every. Show up every year.
You're right. We got about 20 guys that go with us every year. So including our sons, and daughters in your case, and and that's what we'll talk about today. I think every year we go on this trip and we come back with maybe some more insight or analogies to the infinite banking concept and how they're really similar.
Yeah, very similar. And you know, the group of guys too. You know, we're all pretty like minded. But even though we are, like, we have similar views of the world, the way to raise your kids or have a family or whatever. We still differ on some things, like as we talked about yesterday when we were driving. Like, some people are big, there's some big crypto people in there, right? Some guys that really are bullish on Bitcoin. Dave and I are not really.
We're still educating ourselves, let's say that. Or, you know, I'm open to learning a lot more.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, right? You never arrive in knowledge, Nelson Nash used to say, right? So we definitely have an open mind when it comes to things obviously outside of infinite banking. You know, crypto being one thing that I'm open to receiving information on it. Yeah. I still think it's, you know, I wouldn't put my entire portfolio in there, but some people do.
Yeah. So we differ on some things, yeah, around cryptocurrencies. We differ on maybe some people believe the moon landing happened and others believe it didn't happen. So there's always agreements and disagreements, you know, those way back and forth. But it's just a lot of fun because there are things we all agree on. And that's what's the most important, like the whole, you know, diversity makes you stronger. I've always disagreed with that. I think that's complete baloney. I think it's the things that we, the common values, the core values we share that make us stronger. Diversity makes
us more interesting. Our shared purpose. That's right. And I would say if we're going to, it would be a diversity of thought. So yeah. Even though a lot of us are a lot alike, we still have some, like I'm like the only Catholic there other than the hosts.
Well, we also had, we were sitting around the fire and we had an Indian, we had an Italian, we had a Mexican, and then, you know, and a Texan, which is a different nationality altogether as well. You know, that's not a put down for any of you Texans. It's just a fact. But we had a very diverse group and very diverse range of thought. But the reason we all come together every year and stay in touch throughout the year is because of what we have in common, not what we have in, you know, different.
That's right.
That's a fact.
Yep. No. And the one giant thing we have in common is the infinite banking concept.
Every single person there practices the infinite banking concept. They're not all agents either.
No. No, not at all. You know, all the children are their parents are practicing and they'll eventually practice. And there's some young men that are probably practicing, but their parents practice prior to them doing it. So But that's what we all have in common. That's what we're going to talk about today. So it took us like 20 minutes to get here, but here we are.
Actually 5 minutes and 53 seconds. But
okay, good.
So, you know, so we had shared values. There's brotherhood, sisterhood, because of the couple girls that were there. You know, we always share those values of responsibility, discipline, mutual respect, trust in our own, I guess trust is a different one. That's, you know, there's things we all trust, which is we trust each other. We trust our own decision-making abilities. And we trust that we can't trust the government. Word for word.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
That's right. That's another shared value that I think everybody in infinite banking probably shares, that they're not going to trust at their word everything the government says. Or the financial institutions or mainstream media or mainstream financial media, all of that, right? There's, you got to have discernment.
For sure. And when you look at what the government incentivizes you to do through the tax code with your retirement savings and what Wall Street is telling you to do with your retirement savings, and those two things align, you should be you should question that.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
As you used to say, question everything. But that's a red flag.
Yeah. But, you know, infinite banking works the same way, right? It attracts people who value those things that we value, which is independence, autonomy, control, which is one of the biggest ones.
Privacy.
And building a legacy. I mean, that's part of what that hunting trip is building legacy, building memories with your kids. You know, and it's probably something we'll be able to do for the rest of our lives and maybe even bring along the grandkids at some point and have three generations doing that. How cool would that be?
I think that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
We don't see three generations yet because all of our kids are young, but yeah, maybe 10 more years, we'll still be relatively young, right? In our mid 50s, we could have grandchildren.
Yeah. We could have grandchildren. Old enough, not old enough to hunt, but old enough to walk the fields with us, maybe.
Yeah, walk the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of the boys that was there.
Yeah. Yep.
He was just walking the field and happy.
Was he 10?
Just as happy as a lab that was out there.
Oh, he had a chase. He had a pheasant. Ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, another big thing that this trip that you always got to do when it comes to these hunting trips is plan.
Yes.
And we thought we had a good plan starting out.
Right. It didn't survive first contact though, did it?
Right. You know, cause you got that car, you ordered a car through Turo, big enough to hold seven people and all of our gear.
Yep, it was a Ford Expedition Max, so like a Suburban, had a 3.5 liter EcoBoost on it, had about 92,000 miles, so not super high, but not low mileage either. And the minute I drove it out of that parking garage, I knew there was something wrong with it. And basically, folks, I try to yield into traffic, get a little bit of, give it a little gas, and it would like shake. And that's called engine. It was engine knocking. So something ain't right. And it could be various things, but eventually a check engine light started flashing. And when it's flashing, that's bad. Regular check engine light, steady. Okay. Something's wrong, but nothing severe. Flashing check engine light, that's bad. Pull over. Anyway, so yeah, didn't survive first contact, but we were able to adjust fire, right? And get two other vehicles. So that defeated the purpose of taking one, but got two vehicles and were able to still continue the mission. So that was great.
Yeah. And that happens in life. The unexpected, right? The only thing that you always expect the unexpected. And in this case, that's what happened. We just had to flex. The company worked with us. Yeah, gave us two cars and took back their one junker. And we continued. So it slowed us down a little bit, but we ended up in the same place we were expecting to be anyway.
Yep, we arrived 5 minutes before dinner.
Yeah, which is actually the perfect time to arrive.
Yeah, because it was raining anyway, so it's not like we were going to go shoot that night. So it worked out all right. And we got to do Culver's, so that was nice.
Yeah, but that's kind of like infinite banking is you start, you plan, you start the process. Something's always going to happen in life that's unexpected.
Sure.
And maybe, I mean, that thing that's unexpected could mean you lose some income, or your income gets interrupted and you have to reduce the amount of paid up additions you're funding that year. But then the next year you get back up to where you were and you continue your trip, your journey, and you flex, you make it happen. But that's what, then infinite banking provides that cushion to handle those issues as well. Like we started early enough in the day, we built enough cushion that it took us an hour and a half to get those new vehicles.
Right.
But like you said, we got there 5 minutes before dinner time, which is the only important milestone that we were trying to hit anyway, but we gave ourselves enough cushion in the journey to overcome those obstacles.
Yeah, that's right. We had enough. We had enough change in our pocket, right? We had enough cushion or money in our bank due to our superior planning skills and the fact that we had another 25-year-old driver, you.
Well, yeah, a little older than that, but yeah, we had two drivers. Which
minimum age, 25.
Yeah. I mean, we had two other drivers, but yeah, they can't rent a car until you're 25.
Right.
Yeah, because your brain's not fully formed until that time. So I guess it makes sense.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's another thing that always comes into play when you're hunting is patience and timing. I mean, we're patiently awaiting those pheasants to pop up out of the cornfields so we can get our shot.
And they will come, right? The to relate it to IBC or to maybe investing or something is, we talk about all the time when you've done the proper preparation, you're building capital in your system, we always say opportunities will find you, whether it's an opportunity you bring yourself or an opportunity that somebody else brings you, it is going to track you down. And it's just like those birds, you're going to have opportunities to shoot, and with the proper preparation, you can actually hit them when they fly. Some people can't, but most of us can, right?
But you've also got to have shells in your shotgun. It's got to be loaded and ready to go when that bird flies up, because you have a very small window of opportunity.
Seconds.
Right. So it's kind of like if you go through life with all of your capital under somebody else's control and you don't have access to it. So in other words, locked up in a 401k, qualified plan, and something else where you really don't have access to it, it's kind of akin to going pheasant hunting with an empty shotgun. Because even if that opportunity pops up right in front of your face and hovers there staring at you, you can do nothing about it.
Shoot me.
Because you've got no dry powder. You got no capital. So you can't see that opportunity. And guess who's going to take it? The person standing next to you who's well-capitalized.
That's right. Now, he had some fast shooters too. Well-capitalized, fast shooters. You might look good while you're out there, right? It might look good to have a high 401k balance. And I used to think that. I'd be like, oh, look at this. You know, me and my buddy, I talked about it before. We'd always like compare notes at the end of the year and
look at it.
Great. But just that mindset of, well, what good is that doing me? It just looks good on paper. It's kind of like, you know, Carmela's out there with her hat and she actually did hit a couple of tail feathers this trip.
Yeah.
So props to her. I didn't think she was going to hit anything. So good for her. But, you know, she looked the part, right? She had her shotgun. She had an orange vest, an orange hat. She had a loaded gun. But if you wouldn't send her out to go collect, you know, get food for you, obviously.
Right. Just like you wouldn't send somebody out. I mean, you know, having all your money locked up somewhere else that's out of your control, but looks really good on paper is kind of like walking around with that $5,000 Caesar Guarini over under that's not loaded because you spent all your money on this nice, beautiful shotgun and you didn't have any capital left over to actually go buy 12 gauge shells.
I think those are more like 8,000.
Well, they can range. They can certainly get up there.
I think that one is.
Yeah. I'd rather have that, you know, Benelli Black Eagle 3 all loaded up, ready to go.
And he does, folks. And that's what he used.
And that helped.
28 inch barrel.
I think it helped quite a bit this year. Every year I get a little bit better. Hey, kind of like your policy, every year it gets better and better. And that's the way I feel every time I go pheasant hunting. The first time I was out, I think maybe I got a bird. But one, I was using the wrong equipment. Two, I didn't have any experience and probably didn't have any patience. I just raised the shotgun and fired away. Yeah. But every year is better and better.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. No matter what you do, the more you practice shooting shotguns, the better you get, the more premium you pay and the older your policy is, the better that policy will be.
Yeah.
No matter what. So.
No matter what. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, what about, you know, stewardship and generational impact?
Yeah, I think we're called upon, right, as, you know, kind of the leaders of our families to be good stewards of capital, of our money, and teach that to the next generation. Like, my children are living a completely different childhood than I had. I didn't fly in a plane until I was 16 years old, and it was for a school trip that I had to go on anyway. So it wasn't like, so, you know, they've had wonderful opportunities, but I always remind them the reason we're able to do these things is because we have access to money, right? We have, and I can access my money without interrupting its growth. That's very important. That's one of the keys to IBC is that you can get to money without interrupting its growth.
Yep.
It's so important, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I put so much capital there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, and generational impact, again, just going back to the impact this has on our kids when we take them on these trips. They see that we value time with them. One, it's expensive. It's not cheap.
Nope.
So they should know that we're actually paying good money to go do this and bring them along so that they can have this experience with us and we can have this experience with them, create these memories and create that fellowship and learn something in the process, take something home with you.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, gosh, I don't think I could say anything better than that. It's the time, you know, like you said, Dave said this the other day. He was listening to somebody and he said, you know, by the time your kid's 18, you've spent like 80% of the time you'll ever spend with them or 90% of the time you're ever going to spend because they're going to go to college or whatever they're going to go do, leave the house, leave the coop, leave the nest and never come back, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
Hi, I'm 30. I'm moving back in.
Come back to visit.
Yeah, just to visit.
Have dinner.
You want them to visit, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, being in the military, we were always spread across the country and the world away from our families. So again, our kids had a totally different experience with that as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like I saw my grandparents every week. growing up. My kids see them a couple times a year. So it's, you know, it's much different, but no, the memories are important. And, you know, hopefully they carry that forward in their adulthood. And when they have children, that, you know, making memories and being able to make the memories by having the capital in place to do those things.
Yeah.
Without worrying about it. Just, yep, we can totally go do that because we put things in place when we were younger to make sure that we could do those things.
Yep. Exactly. And then while you're there, they get to learn from you. They get to learn by watching you. How do you hunt? How do you stay safe? How do you keep other hunters around you safe?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Carmella almost got pelted right between us.
I
might have shot you.
I got a little peppering on my arm. I think you might have got me. Yeah. But you got the bird in the process, so that was good.
Right. Although Anthony never walks with me. He's always off with whoever, which
yeah.
I kind of like that. He can just go insert himself with you or Chad or whoever, and it yeah. doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's at home pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and then they get to carry that on with them and say, well, this is how Dad did it, and I'm going to do it the same way. And hopefully that translates to how I treat my capital and how they see me treat it. And of course, they're not going to be able to. It's a lot easier to learn from observing me while I'm hunting than learn from observing me with what I do with my capital, because that's kind of behind the scenes.
Right.
Which is why we have to have conversations about it with our kids. Conversations about money, about saving, about investing, about preparing and all of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my son's 13 and, you know, we've been talking to our kids about those things for years at their level. And now that they're getting a little bit older and they can understand it, it's becoming more and more meaningful. But you've planted those seeds, right? And they understand, like, Dad says I'm supposed to save 30% of everything I make from day I start working to the day I die. And I told them, I was like, yeah, only if you want to be more wealthy than your peers. If you don't, spend it all.
Spend it.
And you won't be wealthy.
Yeah.
But it's
and here's where you save it. And here's how you capitalize. And here's right. how you leverage it. And here's what you leverage it for. Right. So, all right. And then finally, I mean, one of the biggest reasons we get into this is because we want independence from the commercial banking system, which, yeah, I get it. You can't 100% gain independence from that.
Sure.
Maybe when Bitcoin becomes mainstream, as I'm learning more about it from the other Bitcoiners in our circle, then maybe you can, because it'll be all peer-to-peer. But until that day, there's no way to 100% gain independence. We still need the banks, unfortunately.
To do banking. Yeah.
But this takes a large percentage of that and puts it under our control and creates that independence that we have, where it doesn't matter what the stock market's doing. It doesn't matter what, it does matter all of that stuff to our overall economy and, you know, fractional reserve banking and what banks are doing with our money and, you know, creating money out of thin air via credit.
And then lending it back to you.
Yeah. Like all of that matters. But to me individually, I'm involved in that as little as I absolutely need to be.
Right. By practicing IBC, you and I and our clients and our friends, we contribute less to inflation.
Yeah.
Because we're warehousing our money in a place where, and the banks, I think I'm fairly certain the accounts where life insurance companies keep their money, their capital, those are those types of accounts that can't be like counted in their overall, but I don't know that. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. But yeah, even life insurance companies, a lot of the money that goes in as premium is then, you know, paid to operate the business. And that money goes back to employees. It goes back to somebody's bank and is used in that whole system. So sure. Again, it's in one sense, they're a cog in the big wheel of the financial system. But in another sense, they're the least impactful cog when it comes to inflation and fractional reserve banking and all that.
Right. It's all of you people paying extra on your mortgage and your car payments. You're the problem.
So how does all that relate though, this independence and doing all that relating to hunting? It's kind of like hunters, they're independent from having to go to a grocery store and be reliant on other people to harvest, to grow, harvest, yep. To hunt, to process that food and put it in the grocery store so they can conveniently go pick it up. They're autonomous. Hunters can go get that on their own.
Yeah. And we have clients that do. I have a client, our friend John up in Alaska, that fills his freezer every year with fish and nice. Eats it. Like, costs almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And good fish, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That farm raised.
Oh, he's doing cod?
Over in Asia or something like that.
Maybe. Must be cod. I don't know.
Well, in Alaska, they got a lot of salmon, right?
Salmon. He's got all that stuff. But I'm going to have to ask him what he's pulling out of what water. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, if the price of fish goes up, it really doesn't impact him because he hunts it himself.
No. Yeah. He has it all.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So many similarities, and we could probably draw these analogies with pretty much anything. And I wouldn't mind doing that if anybody's got something else they want to compare it to. But
yeah, I like analogy episodes when we have a lot of analogies.
Yeah.
And we've done one of these before a couple of years ago, though. I don't think we did one last year. Maybe we did. But I like that. Every time we say it's kind of like, that's helpful, I think, to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And hunting always provides these great analogies. So, again, you know, we'd love to hear about anybody else's stories of anything they've been doing in their, maybe your day-to-day life or an event that happened that really reminded you of the importance of what you're doing by practicing the infinite banking concept. You know, yep. One other thing, we were just looking at the reviews, like the iTunes reviews. If you haven't, do us a favor. If you like the show, go get a 5-star review and leave a comment. I love seeing those comments. They're few and far between, but when people leave comments, it's pretty fun to read. We appreciate
it. Yeah, and there's some really great comments. So if you've made a comment, this year or whatever, we've seen a few that they're just really well written and well thought, and we read them and we appreciate it for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they really appreciate it.
Maybe we should start the show next week with a comment, with the most recent comment we received.
Let's do that. So if you put a name like alphabet scramble, I mean, I'm just going to say this is from Alphabet Scramble. So if you put like John W or John S or whoever, and if you're listening, you know it's probably you.
Yeah,
you don't have to put your full name, obviously.
Yeah, we'll keep that to ourselves.
Right,
but all right, well, cool. Hey, another successful hunt. Everybody came back with the same number of eyeballs and digits, barely, but we did it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And looking forward to doing it again next year and probably doing another episode on the exact same thing, just finding different parallels between infinite banking and hunting or anything else you're doing in life. All right, everybody. Cool. Well, hey, have a great week. And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.